Hey guys, welcome back to Audio 2 of the Language of the Business Training. This is Matthew Harris, and welcome back. Did you do your assignment for Audio 1, which was to go off there and memorize those three scripts and start practicing them, learning them like your favorite song, knowing them inside and out? Did you do that? If you haven't done that yet, don't even bother listening to the rest of this audio. And I really mean that, because you have to take the steps. You have to take steps forward. You know, when I was learning how to play piano when I was a kid, one of the problems that I had was I didn't want to practice. Now, I was really excited about being able to play all the songs that I heard on the radio. I was really into music. Still, I am passionate about music to this day. But I didn't actually do the work of learning the basics, learning all the scales that the teacher was trying to get me to learn. It was frustrating to me, because I'm like, I don't want to play this stuff. Just teach me how to play what's on the radio. You know, a lot of people look at the business too and say, I don't want to learn this stuff. Just help me get rich, right? That's not going to happen. You have to actually master the steps, master the basics, master the fundamentals of this business. They'll set you free. So if you haven't learned those words yet, if you haven't become familiar with those words yet, then pause this or stop this audio right now. Go back to audio one and do that assignment. Listen to it again. Listen to it over and over and over if you must, and start speaking those words. They have to become your own. You have to hear yourself saying those words and embody those words and just make them a habit of what it is that you do. It takes 21 days to create a new habit, to get the synapses in your brain to really start connecting and creating brand new connections and brand new associations. And it just takes work. So plan every single day a little bit to start practicing on those words. Practice with your kids, with your friends, with your parents, with your family, whoever's around you. Practice with yourself so you get comfortable with that. Now, this audio is going to be about the follow-up process, how to follow up effectively. And I talked in our last audio about how important the follow-up process is, that 90%+ of the sales, 90%+ of the decisions of a person to buy or join a business is made up after the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh plus follow-up attempt. So if you don't master this part of the business, you're definitely leaving a gaping hole inside your skill set. So now you know how to talk to people to decide whether they're maybe a prospect. The next step is to follow up with them. In last audio, we talked about scheduling the follow-up. All right, let me just talk with you a little bit about the preparation for your follow-up. So this is going to help you when it comes to actually helping people make the decision to sign up, the close. That's not what we're going to talk about just yet, but we're laying the groundwork, the foundation for helping people get started with you, okay? So here's how I want you to go into the follow-up process. A couple of things that are important, not just in the follow-up process, but through the whole exposure process, the whole this training that we're going to be talking about here, is your energy level. Your energy level drives the conversation. If you're calling people and you're talking, you know, hey, I just talked to a friend of mine, he's a top executive for a company, going through a lot of growth right now, and he asked if I knew anyone is looking to make a significant income this year. Guys, you cannot talk like that. You cannot communicate with people effectively, or at least to the point of catching their attention, if your energy level is low. Now, if you're the kind of person who is not as outgoing, is a little bit more soft-spoken, this is definitely not a knock on you saying, oh, you're not going to be able to be successful in this business. Not at all. You actually have a bigger opportunity. Because guys like me that get excited easily, that are over the top, kind of loud, kind of raucous, you know, when I call somebody and I'm excited, they're used to hearing me be excited, right? But if people are not used to seeing you excited, when you call and they hear you excited, that energy actually will resonate with them on a whole nother level. Because now they're looking at you like, wow, whatever it is that they're talking about, whatever it is, I'm interested, because if they're that excited, their energy is that high compared to what I'm used to hearing them be at, then I got to pay closer attention. Remember, it's not just the words that you're saying, it's the way that you say it, all right? So it's something I'm going to be repeating over and over and over and over again in each of these audios, is that make sure you have a high energy level before you even get on the phone with people, before you meet with somebody. Get into that peak state is definitely a major piece about communicating with people effectively and having influence in that conversation, all right? So you've got your energy levels up, you're excited. Remember, you're calling to serve them, to help them change their lives. If you're talking about the business, or you're calling to help them change their health, if you have a health product, or whatever your service may be, you're calling to help transform someone's life, maybe even just give them some advantages with your great products, with your opportunity. Either way, you're following up not to get them into something, but to open up a door that they can actually walk through. You're just the guide to move them to the next step in the process. So be excited, have your energy level up high, and you're going to call folks. So now that you're in that mindset of following up, here's the other thing I want you to remember. A couple of things not to do. When you follow up with someone, you should not be following up with them to answer questions. Now, if you remember back in audio one, we talked about having them write down their questions and things of that nature. All right. Here's what happens when you call someone back and they say, oh, yeah, it was interesting. I've got all these questions I've got to ask. Where a lot of people make the mistake is they get into this long, drawn-out conversation where they answer questions for their people, but now it actually creates more questions in the mind of their prospect. When someone's asking questions, there's several different kinds of questions. One is they're just curious. Remember, you're looking for a prospect, not a suspect. So curiosity questions are just, give me more information just because my mind is excited about information. I'm not really excited about this opportunity, but I'm curious. You know, so you know exactly who those people are, right? They'll just constantly want to get more information, but they won't make the decision, all right? That's a rabbit hole that you don't want to get involved in. You want to find out very quickly if you answer the questions that your prospect has or help them answer their questions, the next step is going to be for them to sign up, right? That's the direction you're going. But most people, when they get on the phone with somebody, when they follow up with them, they start answering questions on the spot, and they lose their client or their customer or their potential business partner because they talk them out of the business. They start answering questions, and then that prospect says, man, this is complicated. I didn't know that I had to know all of that stuff in order to be successful. That's definitely where a lot of people miss the boat. So if you're finding yourself answering questions for your prospects, thinking that you're doing them a favor, it's actually a disservice. It actually is. I'm going to share with you what to do when it comes to questions, okay? How to handle that a little later on in this training. But that's one of the things to put up front. Second thing, when you call someone to follow up, your focus should be on asking them questions that guide them through the process of really taking in the information and getting to the point of making the decision. The person who asks the questions in a conversation controls that conversation. Does that make sense? So think about it this way. If I ask you, how has your day been? Yeah, it's been pretty good. Oh yeah, tell me more about that. Right now, you start to tell me, you know, what happened today at your work that made it really feel good, made you feel pretty good. Maybe you got some praise from your boss or something like that. Well, that's awesome, man. Do they give out, you know, this recognition all the time? Is there something special just for you or whatnot? Notice, because I am actually asking the questions, I'm actually directing your focus. I'm directing what you pay attention to. I'm directing the conversation because I'm the one asking the questions. But if you ask the questions, you're actually the one in control. So when I get on the phone with a prospect, guess who would better be in control of the conversation? Me. And because it's my business, at the end of the day, my results is what I'm looking for. But I only get results by helping other people make the decision to become a customer or come on board as a distributor. So if I let them ask all the questions and run the conversation the direction that they want to go, how likely is it that I'm actually going to be able to get them to see my point of view? Am I going to get them to actually get enrolled? Very, very slim to none, okay? So remember, the person who asks the questions controls the conversation. So number one, make sure that you're not getting in the process of answering questions for your people, but also you must ask the questions. That's those two key parts of the follow-up process. These questions are going to be built up to guide them through to their decision process or the point of where, all right, sign me up. I'm ready to sign up, right? So here's what the follow-up looks like. Remember, you have high energy. You're focusing on asking questions. I use the same questions almost every single time. I'd say 99 times out of 100, 900 plus times out of 1,000, I'll ask the exact same questions. Matter of fact, that's probably closer to 1,000 times out of 1,000. I mean, it's really, this is exactly what we say when we follow up with our prospects. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're a level above us that we're looking up to, if they're on our same level of peer, or if they look up to us. Doesn't matter. I use exactly the same phrase with exactly the same tonality, with exactly the same expression. So I pick up the phone. You pick up the phone. You're calling, you know, your prospect back after they've seen the presentation. You scheduled the time when you're going to follow up with them. Now, calling them back. Now, a couple of things are going to happen. One, they're going to answer. Two, they're not going to answer. All right? Now, just because they didn't answer does not mean that they're interested or not interested in it at all. So what I like to do if I call someone and they don't pick up is I'll actually text them and say, hey, I just called you. Call me back. And if they, if you did, you'll find this through the process of recruiting people. Have you ever had the issue of people kind of disappearing on you and you're not sure what to say when you try to follow up with them, how to even get them back on the phone? Well, a lot of times that happens because they're not actually really a prospect is the first thing. They were just a suspect and they were just curious. They were never really interested. So they're basically telling you that they're not interested. That's one thing. But just because of that, should that mean that you don't let up? Not at all. You can still take control of that situation as best as possible. And that's always going to be a good thing. I'll share with you what to do if you can't get people back on the phone in a second. The other thing could be that they're just really, really, really busy. And right now their focus is on what's keeping them busy. So you've got to get on their radar. You've got to raise the importance of what it is that you're talking about with them. The way that you do that is by getting to know what they want, by building rapport with people. This is really critical. Of course, if you're talking to somebody, you're following up with someone that you don't know very well, then your initial conversation with them when you did the initial invitation process in audio one, you need to spend more time building rapport with them. Building rapport means simply having a conversation where you get to know them and you build bridges between each other. So you're building these bridges. We focus on form, which is family, occupation, recreation, motivation. If you're not sure what to talk about with somebody, remember, ask questions of them. You know, so is your family from around here? Awesome. You got how many kids? Wow. What are their names? Oh, that's really cool. Okay, cool. So what is it like when you're working away? You know, you're working a lot. Where do you work at? Just asking questions, guys. Being curious and interested in other people and paying attention to other people is one of the biggest compliments that you can really make to them. So you want to do this not just from the invitation process, even through the follow-up process, all the way through the closes, constantly building rapport, building bridges, all right? That means then that you're connecting with them at a level deeper than just the conversation, where now they're looking at you as, I can relate to this person. They're similar to me. And we do business, guys, with people that we like and trust and respect as well. And so if you're building that sense of, I like this person, they're pretty cool, and I respect that person, I trust this person, that comes from making them feel like they're really, really important. And there's a really great book out there that'll help you with this called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think it's phenomenal. It may seem very basic, but it's very powerful when you apply all the principles together when it comes down to building rapport and connection with people. This is something you're going to be doing through the whole process of talking to people anyway. So that's a great book for you to dive into as well to really give you some cues on how to talk to folks. But I always ask them about their family, their occupation, their recreation, what do they do for fun, and their motivation. So when it comes down to following up with people, I know pretty much why they're motivated. I've qualified people. And we didn't get a chance to really talk about that in audio one because I was giving you an option of the invitation process, right? The exact words that I use. And a lot of times that's going to come down from actually just talking to a person that you already have some kind of rapport built up with. But what about someone that you don't have rapport with? Well, here's what you do. You build rapport with them before you prospect them. What a concept. Build a relationship first, then talk to them about your business. Like you're sitting on a plane with somebody. Not the first thing you should say to them should not be, hey, listen, you know, I'm expanding my business in the area. You're 30,000 feet. Of course, you're expanding your business in the area. And I'm looking for a go-getter type, someone who, been, you know, you wouldn't go into that. You'd build rapport with them. You notice something about them, pay them a compliment, say hello. Say, hey, my name is. When I sit down in an airplane, I always say, you know, hello to the person I'm sitting next to, if it's not my wife. And I'll ask them what their name is. And at least just kind of break the ice just with that. Really simple. And then build rapport around family, occupation, recreation, motivation. And that way you start to build these bridges with people in the sense of when they say that they've got something that you can resonate with. For example, they spent time in corporate America. And so did you. And you say, no kidding. I spent 20 years in corporate America. My goodness, I'm so glad I'm out of it now. And then just leave it there. Kind of like plant that seed and move on to the next part. But continue to show them how you're similar to them. And if there's nothing in common with them, then don't fake it. All right? Don't fake it. But still pay attention to them. That will go a long way. All right. Now, I had to talk about that before we go through the words because that's the foundation of the conversation is rapport. And you're building this at every single level in the conversation. So if you don't know them that well before you prospect them, again, you're not trying to be best friends with these folks. You're just trying to build the conversation, build rapport. So before you even bring up the business, make it a practice of being interested in that person first and trying to find a way that your business can solve a need that they have. Now, for someone that you already know, remember you're talking to people you know and people you don't know. People you don't know, build rapport with them. People you do know, You can maybe reestablish rapport if you haven't talked to them in a long time, but still, that's not something you have to spend a whole lot of time on. It's really just getting straight to the point with folks. I know people that'll call their warm market contacts and they'll spend 45 minutes talking to one person. And I get on the phone, I talk to my warm market contact, it took me less than 2 minutes. And they're looking at me like, don't you want to know how they're doing? Don't you want to know all this stuff? Yeah, I know how they're doing. They post it on Facebook all the time. And when I find, like, I know what's going on with them. We have a relationship, but I'm calling to talk with them about business. If I try and make it seem like I'm calling to talk about friendship and then try and throw in, oh yeah, and by the way, I was talking to a friend of mine and starts to slant the conversation that way. Even with those words, they're so powerful and so comfortable that it still won't really throw it, a lot of people off a whole lot from the conversation. But at the same time, I want to get through as many contacts as I possibly can, especially when I already have rapport with them, because I don't have to spend so much time there. Does that make sense? So people you know, build rapport with them, then talk about the business. People you don't know, you don't have to spend as much time on rapport. Get straight to the business part of it, okay? And they'll appreciate that from you as well. They will. Okay, now that we've gone through that part, you have a framework to continue building your conversations with people. Let's talk about the words. So you're calling your person back, or let's just use me in this case. I'm calling you back, all right? And let's say your name is Julie or whoever, Leonardo, whoever, whatever your name is, listening to this audio right now. And let's say I call you back, Julie. Hey, Julie, it's Matthew. What's going on? Oh, nothing. Everything's good. Hey, did you get a chance to watch that video? Yeah, I did. Awesome, wasn't it? That's literally the first thing that I will say automatically. Here's the reason. Whoever walks into a room with the highest level of conviction will influence that entire room. The person has the highest level of belief, highest level of conviction, that knows who they are, that knows where they're going, will influence everybody else. This whole process is a transference of belief. Your belief in the business and what it can do for people onto somebody else. Well, Matthew, what if I haven't had great success in the business? Well, you're making it all about you then. Get over yourself. This isn't about what you can do in the business. It's about the opportunity that it gives everybody to be able to do. So if you're struggling right now and you're trying to say, okay, well, you're looking too much at yourself, think about all the other people in your company that are having tremendous results, that are doing fantastic. Or if it's a new company, you don't have a whole lot of people just yet that are having great success just yet, you're going to be that person first. But if you make it all about you, if you judge the business by what you've accomplished so far, you'll limit yourself and you'll limit that conversation, because your belief level has to be very, very high, first off, before you even get on the phone with someone if you want to influence them. So what I say automatically off the bat when I'm following up with someone is I want to set that conversation up for the direction that I want it to go. I know 100% of the time that this is what I'm going to say every single conversation. Now their energy, when I say, it was awesome, wasn't it? Notice the wasn't it, I'm leading them. Their automatic response to that question is probably going to be a yes. And most of the time, it's going to be somewhere positive. If you ask them, what did you think about the video, you've just completely messed up that whole conversation. Because people are trained to think negatively. Oh my goodness, the economy. Oh, the wars around us. Oh, this virus that's spreading around. Can you believe they laid off another 40,000 people at Microsoft or all this kind of stuff? Man, what's going on with this administration? People are trained to think negatively. So when you ask them a question like that, even though you're expecting a positive answer, and even though they might be excited about it, they might automatically lean towards the negative about the video or whatever tool they had. All the person talked fast because they're telling what they think. All right. So don't be mad at them if they tell you what they think. That's what they think. So do yourself and them a favor and ask and set the conversation up for success by setting the tone and saying, awesome, wasn't it? 100 times out of 100 times, whenever I'm following up with someone, that's exactly what I'll say first. Now my belief and my energy, if they felt any way even a little negative about the video, it's going to be hard for them to try and push the conversation more negative because I started it off so strong. Hey, Julie, what's going on? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Hey, did you get a chance to watch the video? Yeah, I did. Awesome, wasn't it? Right? No one's going to let that down. They're going to say, yeah, well, I guess it was awesome, even if they thought it was okay. Yeah, I guess it was awesome since you think it was awesome. Yeah, okay. Right? Same thing can happen for the movies. How was that movie? Oh my goodness, it was incredible, wasn't it? And you thought it was okay. It's going to be a little tougher for you to come out really strong about what you believe because of the level of that conversation for the other end. You can do this with so many different examples, but the key point is your belief level influences and the energy that you use influences other people, not just what you say. Okay, so they'll respond with, yeah, it was pretty good, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it was great. Or, you know, but now their energy level should be going up a little bit because of the way you started the conversation. If they say it was okay or whatever, still, that's probably better than what they might have said if you'd asked them, what did you think about it? Now your second follow-up question comes down to this. What did you like best about what you saw? If it was a video, what did you like best about what you heard? What was it? What did you like best about what you read if you gave them a magazine or tool or something like that? That's it. Or by the way, if you're giving someone a product sample as well, that's another key thing to say. I say the exact same thing. Hey, did you get a chance to try that shake? Did you get a chance to try that product? Did you get a chance to try that service? Whatever they say, if they say yes, when they say yes that they had tried it, I automatically say, awesome, wasn't it? No matter. Listen, I've tried that with products that tasted bad. And because I said that it was awesome, wasn't it? Because I felt it was so good, their energy went up and they said, yeah, it was tasted pretty good. Even though I know it was terrible right now. I'm just playing around with that, but you guys get the point. You're in control of the conversation when you ask questions from a point of belief and a point of conviction. All right. So now the second question is, what did you like best about what you saw? What did you like best about what you heard? Whatever the particular case may be for the tool that your prospect saw. Okay, so you've got two questions. These set up the whole conversation. Awesome, wasn't it? As soon as you ask them if they saw the tool. The next response, what was it? Is what did you like best about what you saw? They saw a video. And then be quiet. One of the major parts about the follow-up and even the whole conversation recruiting is actually sit, if you need to, sit with a piece of duct tape next to you on a desk. So that you remind yourself when you start talking, if you're not pointing them to a tool or to a resource or to a leader in your business, to point them to something else, and you're talking, you're putting it on yourself, and you're making it more about you than you are about them. So you need to shut up at that point because you're most likely talking them right out of joining you. I have seen people, I was actually on a video conference call with a brand new gentleman in my business. He'd gone through a lot of training, was really excited about network marketing, was like, this is what I'm going to do for my career. And he was struggling. And so I said, okay, make some calls while I'm making some calls. I'll watch you on the video cam so I can listen in. And so he had his conversations on speakerphone. And so he actually got me on a three-way call with his prospect. As I closed her out, she was ready to sign up. And he, as soon as I hung up on the phone, I could still hear him through the video conference talking to this young lady. And he started just talking, just for, I guess he was nervous or whatever, but also a lot of times, again, our egos get in the way because we make the business about us. Why we joined, why we were excited, why what we're going to do, not at all about what our prospect wants. And here's what it really boils down to. People could care less why you're in the business. They want to know that, why should they be? What will it work for them? What's in it for me? It's the favorite, WWIM is a favorite radio station of people. What's in it for me? WWIFM. So here's what you want to do. I listened to this guy do this, and I messaged him on instant message. I said, shut up, right, real quick. Sign her up. Ask her what package she's using and sign her up immediately. And he signed her up. She gave him the highest package in the business. But she was on the verge of not signing up because he was talking about the business. Don't make that mistake. So remember, people ask the questions, control the conversation, but also silence in that conversation really helps you with guiding a person. People get a little uncomfortable with space and pauses in conversations. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you get uncomfortable. Like if I were to start talking like really, really fast and then pause, what does that do to you? Now you notice the crescendo in my voice, then you also notice I went down as well to really point that out. And now I ask you a question. So what did you like best about what you saw? And I'm quiet, waiting for you to answer. Here's what happens. If you didn't like anything about it and I'm quiet, you will find something that you like because of the awkwardness of the silence. So don't break the silence. Let your person answer. And when they answer, here's the second thing that happens is that now they say why they're interested. They're selling themselves and you on why they're interested in joining the business. Because when people say something for themselves, they believe it. When you say it, they doubt it. That's a shareable, by the way. If you want to share that, make sure you tag me. It's social media. That's mine. If you say something, people doubt it. If they say it, they believe it. So give them the opportunity to walk themselves right into what it is you want them to do, which is join your business or buy your products. So when you ask that question of what did you like best, now they're going to give themselves and you a whole bunch of reasons of what they liked and why they should get started. Oh, well, I like the fact that there's a car program and it looks like it's something I could start part-time and maybe build up. You know, I had some questions though. And so, okay, so that might be a conversation scenario, and we'll walk through that in a second. If someone starts to say, I've got some questions, I'll show you exactly how to handle that. But give them the opportunity to tell you and to tell themselves why they're interested. And then here's the third follow-up question. When someone says that they liked anything, whatever it is, the car program, the fact they can make six figures, flexible hours, looks like it's a publicly traded company, it looks like it's a great, whatever, you know, whatever it is that's interested. I ask them this question, what else did you like? All right. What else did you like? Because I want them to start building up references to why they should do the business. Not me selling them on this, them selling themselves on why they should do this. Because now they're saying why they're interested in it. Now they're looking, their brain is looking for all these references of why they're interested in it. When you ask better questions, ladies and gentlemen, you get better answers. This is true not just in talking to people, but in your whole life. You want to make more money right now? Instead of asking, why am I always broke? Why am I always broke? Why am I always struggling? Why does this always happen to me? That's a negative. Your brain is going to start coming up with an answer. You're a loser. That's what your brain's going to tell you. And if you're finding yourself stuck, a lot of times it comes down to asking the wrong questions. So instead of asking why, this and that of yourself, ask a question of how can I make this better? What can I learn from this? And really look for the answers. How can I make more money faster and enjoy that process and start to really think about that and really focus on the how are you going to do it instead of focusing on the negative of the why things have happened the way that they have happened. So you're never going to answer that question. It's a question that no, you're never going to answer. It's just what it is. So don't sign up for that class. Give yourself a chance. All right. So give your prospects a chance as well to walk themselves into your business by creating these references, by building up this, if you think about it in terms of a table and like as many legs as possible that are on underneath that table, the more sturdy that table is going to be, right? So let's say they have a table and only has one leg. How sturdy is that table? Not sturdy at all. Let's say it has two. It's going to still kind of slant over a little bit. It's not going to really quite stay still. Let's say it has three legs. All right, now it's starting to maybe stay up, but you can't really use it. You couldn't have a family dinner on a table that only has three legs, right? Yeah, at each corner. You need four legs. All right, so that's to kind of give you the foundation. So that's what I mean when I say references. Give someone an opportunity to start telling you why they're interested. They're building, they're putting up, maybe I need to make more money because I know my kids are going to be going to college and I need to make more money. That's one leg. All right, tell me what else did you like? Oh, well, I love the fact that the products are clean or like I like the third party credibility. Awesome. Tell me more about that. Why is that important to you? So now you're starting to dig deeper. That's the third follow-up question. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. My wife and I do this all the time with each other. She does this to me quite a bit. She thinks I don't know what she's doing. I know exactly what she's doing. She's kind of guiding me through this process. And it's fun. It is a lot of fun. But this stuff is so powerful, guys. So powerful. You'll find yourself in a situation where if you found a person has some desire, doesn't matter if they have the money or not, you guide them through this process of them digging deep into themselves and finding their own motivators, they're going to build this table of belief on their own. And they're going to associate your business and associate working with you to being the solution to whatever the problem is that they're facing right now. And then the automatic next step is to join. So just to recap what we just talked about, when you call someone up, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter the conversation. Awesome, wasn't it? As soon as you ask if they've seen the information and they say that they have, awesome, wasn't it? What did you like best about what you saw? Cool, what else did you like best? Awesome, tell me more about all that. And then you're digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into their driver, into why they are interested in your business, guys. All right, now that you've asked these questions, all right, here's what I like to do. Is I'll ask them, okay, listen, I know you wrote down some questions. Did you have any questions for me? Is what I'll say. Would you have any questions for me? So I'm going to give them an opportunity to give me some questions, all right? And they'll say, yeah, they'll jump at the chance. And so they'll say, yeah, I have some questions. Okay, what's your first question? I won't just say, okay, what questions do you have to let them start, you know, running off of the questions. I want to know, and I'm controlling again the conversation. So I'm going to give them an opportunity to give me their questions I'll write them down. I'll write down every single question that they have. And what I'll do is I'll say, okay, what's your first question? When I say that, remember, the key thing here is first question. Now, I'm not saying what are all your questions. What's your first question? So they'll sell it to me and I won't answer it. I won't. I'll write it down. What's your second question? All right. What's your third question? Do you have any other questions? No, those are all my questions. Okay, perfect. So if we can answer these questions right now in a way that makes you feel comfortable, what else would there be that would hold you from starting right away, getting started in your business so that you can retire sooner, just like you told me that you wanted to do? All right. Remember from building rapport, take notes of their motivators, those pain points, the things that they say they want. That's what's going to help you guide them into seeing how that this business can help them do it. I love this stuff. You're connecting dots for people. You're not, you know, forcing people to do anything. You're just connecting dots and they get to walk and they get to take the credit for it. They get to make the decision. You're just kind of like there, just kind of guiding them through the process. So it's really cool. But when you say, okay, what questions do you have for me? All right, awesome. What's question number one? Cool. What's question number two? Any other questions? Nope, that's it. Okay, perfect. Let me ask you a question really quick. If I can answer, we can answer these questions for you and get them answered to the point where you're really, really comfortable with them. What's to keep you from starting right now and getting started right away? Now, guess what happened just here? You've already built up this table of belief for them, of all these references that they gave you about why they should be involved in this business. So they sold themselves and you. And now you're giving them an opportunity to maybe get some of their questions answered, right? For their sake, all right, as well. Like, so now that when you've said, okay, which questions you have, the automatic next step is going to be you just laid on the table for them to sign up. So it's already there for them. If you can ask these questions and they say, okay, yeah, there'd be nothing else. Why would there be anything else up front for them to get started if you answer your question, make them feel good? Well, maybe they don't have the money. Or maybe they're not actually interested and they were just being curious with you. Remember, you're sorting through people and you're trying to identify who's serious. And even to this point, you might still find some people that'll just kind of wash out through this whole process because they're curious. They're not serious. Or they'll say, oh, I don't really have the money just yet. So they're going to start to give objections possibly at this point. And we're not here to cover how to talk, how to handle objections just yet. But just suffice it to say, when you go through this process, you'll actually minimize the amount of objections that you get. Because remember, guess what just happened? You can probably figure this out now. They're already committed to signing up. They're already committed to building this if you've helped them find enough reasons of why they should by asking those powerful questions. It's absolutely, completely flips the script of what most people are doing. Most people are trying to convince people, trying to force people to get in the business, my goodness. Or they're trying to figure out any way they can to get these people that they think would be awesome to do something that person doesn't want to do. That's not what this is about. It's about finding people that want more, helping them step past their fears and associating your business and you as the leader as a solution to their problems. That's all this is. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Okay. Notice what I did just there? Isn't it? All right. Anyway. We'll talk more about that as we go, of these kind of leading questions, these tie-on questions, all that kind of stuff. But you get in the process of how this goes, right? The follow-up, how to move people through that process. Now you ask them, give you whatever questions they might have. Okay. Now, here's the opportunity that you now have to do a three-way call. Now, I definitely recommend doing three-way calls for sure. You may also get to the point where you're making a great income in your business, and you may think that you don't need to do three-way calls anymore. You don't have to at all. My wife and I, for example, use each other as three-way calls. Even though we could close out our own folks on our own, we really could. What the point is there is that you want to show people that they don't have to do this on their own, that they don't have to know all the answers to all the questions in order for them to get started, all right? So now that you have their questions, here's what you'll do. You'll simply get them on the phone. If your team builds a three-way calls, which I hope that you do, if you don't, then answer their questions one by one and then close, all right? And we'll talk about that. I believe that is audio four. We're going to talk about closing effectively, closing like a boss, like I like to call it, because that's what you're going to be doing here. By the way, you've already closed them, just so you know. It's just a formality to get them to sign up. When you've asked these kinds of questions, you've dug down into the deep recesses of their life experience and what they want from life. And maybe for some people, you've helped them really identify what they want for the first time in a long time, because a lot of people have just given up on their goals. But by you asking these leading questions, by guiding them through this process, you're helping them maybe see a new world of opportunity that they would not have been able to see by themselves. You're leading people. You can be a recruiter or you can be a leader. Recruiters don't make big money in this business. Leaders make the masses of money in this business, all right, if that made sense. So now that you've gotten down to answering the questions or getting them on a three-way call, the next step is going to be then to simply ask for them to enroll. And we're going to go through that when it comes down to audio four. Now, here's, I'm going to give you an assignment because we've come to the end of this particular training. First off, I want you to think about how simple this is when you already know kind of what the steps are going to be. When you already know your game plan going into the conversation, how much more prepared do you feel? Are you scared about what's going to happen? Maybe a little bit, maybe because you aren't used to it just yet, but does it make you feel better to know what to do? For me, it definitely did. Made a world of a difference when I knew what the conversation could play out like. And we're going to run through some more scenarios in Audio 3 when we talk about overcoming objections. And I'm going to share with you what objections really are, how to get to the core of objections, how to overcome them, and how to move past to the point where someone's making the decision to get started, all right? So already we've talked about how to actually prospect, really the initial invitation process to have them see a presentation or see information in your company. We just talked about effectively following up with somebody. So you're starting to build a really, really powerful database of language to use. And notice, we haven't given any really complicated wording at all. Something very simple, something very conversational. You're being yourself with this too. You're not calling them trying to be all posh or whatever if that's not how you normally are. You're being yourself and using relaxed language. But now we're going to dive even deeper because now we're going to get into overcoming objections. The main objections that you're probably going to hear, you're just going to hear the same objections, you know, several times over. But if you did the first two processes, the invitation process properly and the follow-up process properly, you're not going to have that many objections. I know it may sound hard to believe, but it really doesn't. By having a high level of energy, by using these particular words that we've given you that are also part of the scripts that go along with this training that you can use for you in your own business as well, you're going to minimize a lot of the objections automatically because you're sorting and sifting, all right? I'm still going to share with you how to overcome objections, by the way. I'm still going to share with you how to do that in the next audio. So your assignment right now is to memorize your follow-up process. Memorize this. What do you say when you pick up the phone and call somebody? What's your state of energy? Where? How are you excited? Are you walking around? Are you moving around? By the way, on the phone, one tip that I'm going to give you, smile. Just smile. People can hear the difference on the other end of the phone when they smile, when you're smiling. They really can. Because of it's just strange how this works, but they can definitely tell if you're sad and kind of moping around, they can feel that. Through the phone, it's very, very, very strong. Very, very strong. So you have a powerful opportunity to set up the conversation the way that you want it to be. So go into that conversation with high energy. Go in there with high energy, all right, off the bat. And then use those scripts, the words that I just gave you, and memorize those words, all right? Once you've got those memorized, I'll see you in Audio 3. We're going to talk about how to overcome objections. We're going to start to pull this process together. Really excited for you. I'll see you in the next audio. Take care. Until we talk again, my challenge to you, as always, is that you dream, then find a way. God bless.